Clark. My debut, 1990 September, Bristol City away, to get that opportunity, what thousands of Geordies only dream of.
Lee Clark, 1-0.
Williams.
My first goal for Sunderland away at Leicester, it was a left foot volley. I didn't realise my left foot was for kicking the ball with as well, I thought it was just for standard.
Hignett.
Playing against Chelsea and to score the first goal there is something that still lives with me now, and it's what most people will talk to me about.
Hignett with the ball. Ron Hignett, you beauty, you Scouser Teesside beauty.
Worshipped every weekend. It's the three legends, banter and rivalry across the North East on the Tune, the Cat, the Red.
Well, it is bank holiday, but, you know, the lads wanted some pocket money, so they said we're going to do a show. And
well, there's only pocket money, by the way, Dave, isn't it?
Stop it. I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
I set it up there, didn't I? And yeah, you smashed it away. Son. Thanks, fellas. So, happy Good Friday and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And some useful points for the North East. 4 points coming out the two games, Borough and Sunderland. Newcastle still to play, of course.
The Easter Bunny has arrived.
Oh, it has, mate. It brought three golden eggs.
Is she better than Santa? I can't remember what Father Christmas brought, but there you go. We won't go into that. It's the three legends, Craig Hignett, Lee Clark, Darren Williams. You can be part of it as well. Get your comments in, whether it's a WhatsApp message, you can call us. We'll put you on the show. You can talk to the lads. 0330 043 2002. Daz, Clarky, do you know what the funniest thing is? Iggy's in the studio, so I can make him laugh.
Oh,
magnificent.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Get in.
Normally I'm surrounded
by he's usually on his travels.
Yeah.
He's normally in a Morrison's car park.
Yeah. That's I'll tell you what, though, I have to say, this is far from Morrison's car park in here, Dave. It's very Swiss. Swish.
I was going to say, where's the cheese?
Well, there is. There's a lot of cheese.
There's a lot of cheese.
Don't worry about that.
You can see the Eastern Alps through the window. Yeah, absolutely.
It's very posh. You'll get an invite one day, lads, down here. And honestly, if you can, pass it up.
Oh, he's going to torture me.
Oh, we're right next to the riverside. Look at it.
He's going to torture me.
The riverside.
Get on and talk footy, fellas. Yeah. Go on.
Well, lads, hey, there's only one place to start, Daz.
Yes.
You've had a tough few weeks, pal, but go on.
Oh, you can have mate.
You can have the floor for the next hour if you want. You go for it.
Can I do some breakdancing on it as well?
Aye. Now, listen, mate, great result. Great result coming off the back of seven without a win. Obviously, the draw last week. Is it two clean sheets on the bounce now?
Aye, yeah.
We said it's little building blocks, and what was the general performance like? Obviously, whenever you go away in the championship and you win, it's a great result. So, did they deserve the result?
Yeah, mate. I mean, they started off really, really well. I mean, you know, we probably got lucky with a penalty. You know, it's a little bit dubious. You know, it could have gone either way, to be honest. But Ayuchi, I think it is.
What was his name again? Dan
said it three different ways.
Ayuchi. It'll be Ayuchi, Atuchi, Akuchi,
and Chuchi for me.
Achuchu, bless you. So I mean, he stepped up. Cool finish, penalty in the roof of the net, and then obviously, you know, Bellingham back on the score sheet. You know, but a great performances all round, to be honest. Dan Ballard looked nice and solid at the back. Dan Neil, you know, for me, was man of the match. Got on the ball, he made everything tick. You know, and obviously young lad Riggy playing as well from the start. You know, which was good for him.
How did he do?
Didn't get the full. He done well, mate. He done well. He started to fade towards the end. Obviously, you know, he's been away on internationals as well. So I thought, you know, I think it was probably 90 minutes would have been too much for him. But in all honesty, he done well, mate, and held his own. But yeah, I mean, you know, Sunderland looked in control from start to finish. A few airy moments towards the end of the game, you know, they've hit the crossbar. Pato's played a ball across the 18-yard box to Ballard. I was just trying to distinguish whether it was a slow pass or whether Ballard took his time on it. And he literally ended up in a kind of 50-50 challenge with a centre forward, which again could have resulted in a penalty to Cardiff. Yeah. So I think at times we rode our luck, but we had umpteen chances, mate. And it was evident that, you know, we haven't got an out-and-out striker who will finish. I mean, if we had an out-and-out striker, mate, that could have finished 5 or 6 today. But Horvath in goal for Cardiff, you know, was stood up to majority of the chances we had and made some fantastic saves. But all round, mate, you know, a good performance. The lads have, like you say, you know, 2 clean sheets on the bounce, you know, and moving in the right direction.
The Daz Williams derby, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, mate. Yeah, back to Cardiff.
Were you disappointed with them, Daz? Were you disappointed with Cardiff? Because they're sort of middling, aren't they, in the table? Similar to Sunderland and Borough.
I expected more, mate. Yeah, you expected more from them, I thought, especially being at home as well. And it was evident the crowd started to get a little bit on top of them. You know, there was a few boos here and there. They just looked lacklustre. And I think at times, like I say, you know, they got the odd chance here and there. You know, had they got one, you know, it might have been a different story, but they just looked so poor. They looked drained. They looked tired. They looked what how Sunderland looked in the previous, you know, 6-7 weeks. You know, like fatigued, tired, you know, mentally drained. But today Sunderland looked a lot fresher, and I think, you know, the international break type of thing has done us a world of good.
Yeah, I'm pleased for them.
I think it's like what Higgy says, isn't it? It's like there's a group there, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, Cardiff involved in that, and they're just like,
yeah,
there's nothing really happening for them in terms of can they get close to the playoffs, can they get a run of results, you know?
They're all the same, Clarky, aren't they? So they're all inconsistent. They're not really.
You look at Hull the day, yeah, losing it home to Stoke and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's just a few. Bristol City are moving up a little bit because of that terrific result they had against the leaders today, or the not so leaders
well,
anymore.
Third in the table.
Aye. I mean, by the way, it looks like we're going to end up wearing my face because that could be the crash and burn of the season, couldn't it?
Well, unbelievable. Yeah, totally. That is unbelievable. Totally. How Leicester have thrown away that lead. I mean, we were talking. We said it before we come on air. We were talking about them winning the league in record time.
Yeah.
With record
time,
points.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And since we've said that, they've just fell off the cliff. But yeah, it looks like Leeds are the ones who are going to win it, don't they? And possibly Ipswich. I know Ipswich will be top if they win today, but I think Leeds have got a game in hand at which they play tonight. And it looks to me as though Leeds are the ones on form now.
Well, the thing with Leicester, they've got in form Norwich on Monday. Mm. So Norwich have had a big win today to get into that last playoff position ahead of Coventry, who are doing really well.
Well, Cov have got a game in hand, haven't they?
Yeah.
But I think them seven, I would think it's going to be 6 out of them 7 now.
I think the only thing from Ipswich's point of view, I think that, you know, the next, obviously they're playing Blackburn today, they're up 1-0, but they've got Southampton and then Norwich, so you know, two tough games, you know, so that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they
come
out of that.
As you say tough games, don't you, Southampton away?
Yeah, well, you do, yeah. But, yeah, exactly.
You know, did I cue you up
for
that one?
No, I mean, listen. We were all saying it was a difficult place to go, weren't we? And we didn't really expect anything from Borough. And the game started like we expected. You know, Armstrong scores a goal.
Yeah,
they go 1-0 up, and you think, oh, here we go again. Are Borough going to be able to turn it round? Because generally, they don't score enough goals. And I think first half, they were quite poor. I think they improved second half vastly, created some chances. Again, no real cutting edge. You know, if you had a cutting edge, we might be talking differently. But to get that goal right at the end, Lati Lath, who, by the way, has done all right. He hasn't played a full season. He's been injured. He's close to double figures now, if not in double figures, I would think, for the season.
Got a decent return, hasn't he?
So he's, you know, he's not great on the eye. Clarky, when you look at him play, you know, he's a bit raw.
Yeah.
But he gets himself in, he's pacey, he's got a little bit of threat about him. And like you say, his goal scoring return is decent when you look at it, because he has had a stop-start season. So I think in the end, it's a great point, isn't it?
Higgy, are you are you going to speak for the Borough fans here and say these type of results today when you go to Southampton and get a point, which is a terrific result because they've got a brilliant home record, does this sum up the frustration of the season for Borough when they've produced some good performances against the top teams and got some real positive results and then come at home, say, against the not so cool so good teams, you know, they're not the ones near the top and they lose, etc., you know? Is that the inconsistencies that have frustrated you for the season?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. We've said it all the way through this season. We're on about goal scorers and, you know, you've got to put the goals away and chances that are created, you don't make the most of them. And it's sort of been like that all season, hasn't it? You know, they've had some good performances and sometimes when they've played well, they haven't had the results that I thought the performances warranted. But there's been too many where they just haven't been good enough. I think where they are is probably about right. You know, when you look at the season as a whole, I don't think they're good enough to get into the playoffs. I look at the playoff teams and I think they're better than Borough.
And I think
they're three or four away from probably making a play for the playoffs, even next
season. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, probably that result tells you that... they've got on that day they can beat anyone in the league when they've got their best team out. But it's not when you, if you want to get promoted from the championship, which we all know is just, you know, so hard. It's just Saturday, Tuesday. Most weeks, it's ferocious. It's non-stop. You need that squad that's going to be able to churn out the results, isn't it? And Borough haven't been, and Sunderland, but we know why we think Sunderland's issues is because their squad's so young, etc. But with Borough, they haven't been able to do that. But on that day, when they've had that best squad, they can beat anyone in the league. But teams that get promoted aren't those teams, are they? They're the teams that just keep getting a positive result week in, week out. They don't play particularly well, but they still win. They find different ways how to win games. They come from behind. You know, they can win games like that. If teams want to battle with them, they've got the players who can do that side of it. And they've obviously got the flair players who can win them games. And I think, you know, that's the difference for me. As I said, you know, we've seen over the course of the season on that day, Borough, they've played some good teams and beat them, and you've come on and said they deserve the results, but they haven't been able to consistently do that, you know.
I think you hit the nail on the head, because I do think that Borough need their best players out to be able to compete at the top end of the league. And I think I've said it on this show, unless they've got their best players out, I think they're not quite there. You know, there's something missing. There's always been something missing up front.
Does that not point to the need a better squad?
I know it's probably stating the obvious. It's all about recruitment, Clarkie. Me and you know, and Daz, you know how important recruitment is for your football club. And if you get that wrong, then you're in for a really poor season. And I think Kieran Scott this year has got probably one of the hardest jobs he's ever had in football. So, because Michael Carrick will be judged on what happens next season. Not so much this season because of what happened in the summer with all the players that went and the quality that went. Yeah. But he's had a season this season where they've brought in a few players and some of them have worked and some of them haven't. And he's got some big decisions to make in the summer about who he's going to keep. Is he going to have a clear out? How's he going to make enough money? What's his budget? Or how's he going to make enough wriggle room to get the right players in? And then Kieran Scott's got to go and find these players. And these aren't going to be players that everyone knows. These are going to be players, some have got potential that hasn't been recognised yet, because that's how you're going to get them. You're not going to get the finished article who's just going to come in and take the league by storm. You've got to take a gamble on one or two of them. You know, yes, get the ones who you know and who are established and who you know what they can do. But the other ones, the ones who are going to make the real difference for me, are the players who've got that untapped talent, who you take a gamble on, and they're the ones who are gonna, you know, they've done it with the loan players, not this season, last season, and they got really fortunate with the loan players.
Yeah,
but they've understood that if you have loan players and you do well and you get promoted, them loan players are gonna go, and you're gonna start from a worse position than what you're in. Now that's a big ask, isn't it, to try and recruit when you've lost your best players. So I think this season is going to be massive. They're going to have to gamble on one or two young ones. And I think, by the way, I still think they need loans, Clarkie. I still think you need to lean on the loans, because that's where you get the play. I've seen a lad at Gateshead the other night, Dejean Brown. he's called. He scored 8 goals in 7 games for them. He's only 18.
Yeah.
He looked a real handful. They've got him in on loan. Now, listen, Gateshead might get in they're going to get in the playoffs. If they get promoted into the Football League, he's not going to be there. They're going to miss their goals. You know, they've got you do need to take a gamble, and you do need to understand that if this gamble works, we won't keep hold of him when we go up again. So, and I think Borough have tried to rectify that this year by signing all their own players.
They have, yes. Aye. Yeah, totally agree.
So there has been a change in the way that they're doing the recruitment. But I think this year, I think Kieran Scott's got a really tough job on, because especially if they just finish halfway up the league, how are you going to recruit the best players to come and play for you? How do you sell that? Yeah. So you've got to be a really good salesman. You know, there's only so many times you can bring someone, show them the ground, show them the training ground, which, by the way, isn't brand new like it was. It's still a great facility, don't get me wrong, but it's not brand new like it was, where it'd wow people. You've got Rockcliffe next to it, obviously, that you can go and show and say, look, this is what...
And put them up there.
Yeah, so you've got all that. But all that stuff will come into play if you want to overreach, if you like. The other thing's budget. Yeah.
Got a question for you. I've got a couple of questions, actually. One's for you, Clark. We'll come on to that a bit later when we've stopped talking Sunderland and Borough. But Mohamed Ibra says, great show, lads. It was a good point at Southampton, but still 9 points off the playoffs. Is it still a big ask for the Borough?
They've got no chance. You've got no chance of making 9 points up in 7 games. You know, that's...
I think we addressed this last week, didn't we? Yeah. Like, with both Sunderland and Middlesbrough, that it's too far now. It's all about finishing the season as strong as we can now. You know,
I can't see the others dropping points, can you?
Exactly. That's what I'm going to say to you. It's not just about making the 9 points up. It's like 3 or 4 clubs and ahead of you having bad runs as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, listen, Borough, the last five. So, Borough have won 3 and drawn 2. And you'd say they were in decent form. So, but then, you know, look at them, they're so inconsistent. I mean, today, Southampton missed a couple of chances. Don't get me wrong, there was one from, was it?
Armstrong had a great one.
Yeah, Armstrong
but
had one.
But the other lad, who was Adams, the other lad? Adams.
Yeah, Che Adams had one from 5 yards.
Che Adams.
He had 2, actually.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable miss. Saying that, Finnessy's hit the bar, or was it the post? And so, they've had a little bit of luck, but I still think, even with what they've done the last 5 games, the playoffs is miles away. And imagine getting in the playoffs. I think, you know, all them teams that were mentioned in the playoffs, they're all better than Borough.
Just give Stu Gawley a mention. He's a Borough fan who's listening in Canada right now. Just wanted to make a point that it's not a bad point away from home for the Lions.
It's a brilliant point. It's a brilliant point.
It's a fantastic point, Dave. You go to Southampton, as I said, the home record they've got, you know, the quality they've been playing with, you know, that if they had won that the day, that pushes them right in the mix for the top 2. So it's a tremendous point. But in the bigger scheme of things of where Borough are, you know, that type of, if they wanted to try and sneak in the back door of the playoffs, it was going to need 3 points, wasn't it? Which would have been an unbelievable. But that point at Southampton, it's a brilliant result.
Oh, by the way, they've got Sheffield Wednesday on Monday. That's not a given, you know.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
They drew it with Dave, didn't they?
They drew it with Dave,
1-1.
But there's Birmingham, Huddersfield, and Sheffield all on 39 points. Rotherham are gone at the bottom, 20.
Yeah.
Plymouth are slipping there on 41. Blackburn, who are losing at the minute now, 42.
It's tight, so... Do you know what I mean? Anyone can beat anyone. You see what Rotherham did when they come here? You know, you'd expect an easy game, and you get turned over, so it's... It nothing's a given in this league, especially.
It's even more. Higgy, I've got the table in front of us, even more galling when you see that Rotherham win the Borough. They've won 3 games this season.
Exactly. Who were 2 of them against? Did they beat Borough twice this season? Oh, no, there was a draw, wasn't it?
A draw and a win, yeah.
There was a draw and a win.
Four of their 20 points have took off Borough.
It's frightening.
Nearly a quarter of their points.
And unless you're a top end team
in this
league. But
Leicester will be saying the same about the Borough, doing the double over them this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, Leicester.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, Dave. That's what his point was earlier to Higgy. On that day, Borough, with the squad that they have, if everyone's fit, can beat anyone in this league. But the strength of the squad and the quality and how things are decided when you're going for promotion is your squad, your strength of your squad, your quality in your squad, who can do that game in, game out, churn out the results. And unfortunately, that's what Borough kind of do.
So there's 7 games left. There's, what's that, 21 points to play for, isn't it? Borough have got to make 9 points up.
Yeah.
So that's assuming they win them all. The teams above them can only get 12 points.
It's not going to happen.
It's no chance.
There's too many teams have to lose too many points, and the Borough have to
win them all.
Be consistent, which they've not been all season.
For Borough, there has to be at least four clubs: Hull, Preston, Coventry, and Norwich, go on shocking runs for the last 6-7 games, and for Sunderland to achieve anything, which is even more difficult because they're 13 points adrift. You've got Cardiff and Borough, so like you say, Higgy, it can mislead you when you say you're only 9 points behind the playoffs with 21 to play for. But when you look at the league table and you think, well, Hull have got to have a terrible run, Preston have got to have a terrible run, Coventry have got to have a terrible run, Norwich have got to just drop.
If Borough finish the season by winning 5 games out of 7, that'd be a brilliant end to the season. 15 points. That means the ones above them can only win 2 games.
Yeah. And that's what's so hard about exactly. it. It's all right, fans focusing on what Borough have to do, but you've got to take into account what the rest above them have to do.
It takes so long just to claw back 6-7 points.
And then you get news that Riley McGree and Marcus Force are out for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You know, so there's two more to
add. Even today, the team...
One centre half today.
Yeah, the team was makeshift today, and their injury problems have been really shocking. I know we go on about injuries. Clarkie's had probably the worst injury crisis ever up at Newcastle.
I think they're neck and neck, Borough and Newcastle.
But, I mean, Borough have had a really bad one. So, you know, they've had to chop and change. They've had to fill holes in places that, if there's a fully fit squad, he wouldn't do ordinarily. So, I think with all that, they've had to cope with. And they're still going to have to cope with it between now and the end of the season. It's now an impossible task.
Still plenty more to chat through on the Three Legends. You can be part of it, 033 or 043 2002. The question we've got for you, Clarkie, just have a think about this. We'll get to you a little bit later in the show. But the question is, Lee Clark, it comes from Mohamed Ibra. Clarkie, do you fancy managing again? Is it on the cards for you in the future? So don't answer it just yet, but have a think. That's the question we'll pose to you after this short break.
I'm not sure I have to think.
But we'll get the answer next.
It's the Three Legends. Across the Northeast, Clark, legend. Williams, legend. Hignett, legend. WhatsApp us, call or send a voice message. Banter at its best. 033 00 43 2002.
Right across the Northeast, the Timber Cat and the Red.
Right, Clarkie, come on then. Give us the answer.
A big fat no.
That sounded pretty final, didn't it?
What's your reasons?
Why? Well, you'll know from personal experience. Why?
I just want to hear you say it.
Why do I want to go back to having 2 hours sleep a day, and for the sake of 10 matches? Because that's the lifespan of a manager now, isn't it? You don't even. Yeah. The only good thing about it is you don't even get the chance to find a rental apartment or a house or something, do you?
Just do still live,
you're still living out of a suitcase in a hotel when you get the call to say, it hasn't worked.
Yeah. Have you unpacked your suit? Well, wasn't that a Brian Clough story with David Curry?
Yeah. David Curry,
he said to him one day after he come in, he said, who are you, son? And he said, I'm David Curry, you've just signed me from Barnsley. He said, is that right? He said, yeah. He said, have you found a house yet? He said, no, not yet. Clough said to him, well, I wouldn't bother if I were you, son. And he was gone about 6 days later. It's nuts, isn't it? Clarkie, I was just reading stuff about Tonali. Right, and I've got so much sympathy with him. It's unbelievable. And let me put this to you, right? So Tonali gets banned. He's banned. Mm-hmm. Right enough, fair enough, he's banned. From that day to this, he's never had another bet. He's gone to get the help he needs. They've stopped him from doing what he loves as a punishment. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Ivan Toney, same thing, gets a ban, quite rightly so, serves his ban, but the way that the both of them are perceived has been totally different. Ivan Toney came back like a hero.
Yeah.
So everyone, you name the outlets, they said, he's brilliant, he's this, that and the other. He's now got an England cap. Tonali, because they found out that he's bet on the Newcastle matches, is now facing a second ban, which is absolutely utter madness.
Well,
it is crazy,
to be fair, Higgy, I'm a little bit in the dark. I mean... is this new offences that the FA have published?
No, these are offences that have gone with the first ban. So when they've investigated the first ban, they found that he's made some... obviously
in England.
Yeah.
50 charges, they're now saying. He's effectively
made 50
bets since arriving in England.
Yeah. Right. But nothing after the ban.
Yes, but this has been part of the process that they've looked at, that he's currently serving the ban for, yes.
The original one.
He should be allowed to return on August the 27th, then, shouldn't he?
Absolutely.
Of course he should be.
Absolutely. 100%. And by the way, it's to do that with him, you know, because it feels like everyone's forgot about him. It doesn't feel like anyone's tried to help him or tried to bull him up or anything. Whereas if you look at the Ivan Toney thing, everyone talks about him so positively. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Like he's never done it. You know, it was wrong for him. Listen, all players deserve it. If you're betting and you know what the rules are, don't bet, then you deserve a ban.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Of course you do, mate.
If, 100%. So if Tonali's been found to have betted, fair enough, he deserves his ban. But for them to then go back and say, oh, by the way, during them bets, you bet on this, and this, then that's their fault for not looking at that first before they give him the first ruling.
Yes.
Surely you've got to investigate that fully.
That's why I've been confused, Higgy, because there's been so much.
It's ridiculous.
I don't understand why they've brought this up then, if this is part of the original charge.
Hello?
You know, I mean, all it's done. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go on, Clarky.
I don't know why this has been put into the public domain, if this is part of the original charge sheet, because all it's done is give the lad a little bit more misery and probably put him down in the dumps again, you know, which he doesn't really need. Yeah. I mean, I've never been somebody who gambles, and I'm not into that. Even when I was playing, I owned part one of a racehorse, and it was just for the enjoyment. Mm. But I listened to someone like Paul Merson, who's obviously got the addiction to gambling, and he was saying about the bans at Tonali and Tony Gott, it was like, come on, banning them isn't really the answer. It's not helping them. No. And especially what Merce was saying is, well, it's like double standards, because all these big sponsors of these football clubs and the competitions are gambling sites and betting companies.
Exactly, absolutely.
And it's pushed in these young lads' faces. Mm. And obviously, you know, from my era, obviously a lad I knew, Keith Gillespie, know really well. Yeah. Keith had, you know, problems with gambling. And his, you know what he used to always say? It was the boredom. It was the being a young lad in a hotel or in his own apartment, loads of time to kill, and just, you know, thinking, oh, I'll go at the bookies, I'll put a bet on some football, I'll put the bet on some horse racing. Mm. And, you know, ended up obviously losing a lot of money. So
but it's just football, it's everything. Because of the boredom, Clarky.
Yeah, it is.
But even if it is other teams and that, though, you can't affect it, can you? Do you know what I mean? You can't affect another game.
What they're saying is, though, that's like you might have a mate who plays for that team and you know.
Inside info,
and it's all that stuff. Listen, if someone comes to you and went, unless you're saying to your mate, hey, there's X amount for doing whatever, you know, it's like the booking. Yeah. You could bet on the booking, couldn't you? Or the first time throw in and all that stuff. And I get all that. But if the rule is you can't bet on any football, then you don't bet on any football, do you?
I think even now, even though I'm out of football at all completely, because of the relationship with Bobby being in football, I think if I was to get caught gambling, I could get charged.
Mm.
Or he could
because he's involved in the game. They'd probably ask your lad whether you're putting bets on for him. I mean, that's how bad it would be.
Yeah, this is it.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, so, I think, you know, there's...
And by the way, you don't even need to be guilty, Clarky, because they'll hear it and they'll decide themselves whether there's enough in it to charge you or to charge Bobby, even if it's got nothing to do with him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've got a caller on, fellas. Ryan's calling us from Lincolnshire. Ryan, you're through to the three legends.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Absolutely buzzing with the result today. I think a brilliant point against Southampton.
Yeah, it was. Were you at the game, Ryan?
No, I wasn't. Watching? No, not today. I watched it, yeah.
What were you thinking before the game?
I thought a typical Borough would beat them. I thought typical Borough will beat Southampton and get beat by Swansea next week, but
yeah, by Chef Wed on the Monday.
Chef Wed on Monday.
Chef,
yeah.
Chef Wed on Monday.
Oh yeah.
You're looking too far ahead, pal. You're thinking. Are you thinking? what are you thinking about playoffs?
No, I think anyone who thinks we're getting the playoffs in very well, to be honest.
Say that again.
I think anyone who thinks we'll get in the playoffs is in dream world,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. I'd agree with you.
I can't hear at all.
Yeah. I would agree with you. I think it's we spoke about it before, hadn't we? About 9 points is just a bit too much for anyone to make up. Listen, even if they were 6 points behind, I'd say that's still a tall order. What are your hopes for the end of the season then, Ryan? What do you want the club to be doing?
Well,
and by the way, who do you think will stay?
Do you know what? I think we've got a lot of shaping around to do. I think we've got a lot of, you know, this transfer window, I think, is very important to us, because I think after the season we've had, we just really need to like reshape the whole squad, to be honest. Mm.
Mm. So you'd be happy with wholesale changes?
I think there's a lot of changes that we need. Like, I'm not happy with the attack at all.
Yeah.
I think our full attacking force needs to be changed completely.
Well, that's been a problem all season, hasn't it, goals? Would you sign Sam Greenwood?
Yeah, definitely. Do you know, I haven't been completely impressed with him, to be honest.
Yeah. Is one and a half million all right for him, though?
Like I say, I've not been overly impressed with him. I personally wouldn't go for him, but...
Brilliant. Well, thanks for your call, Ryan. He's obviously a happy bunny.
Thanks, Ryan. We're great to that today.
Dave, he was that happy. I thought he was a Sunderland fan.
Yeah, well, when he said great results, I'm thinking, oh, he's going to... It's a Macam in Lincolnshire.
When have you heard a Sunderland fan that happy, Daz? Hey.
Not for a long time, mate.
Every time you talk about the attack, like... You get the I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's one of them that it just divides people. Even you're talking about Sam Greenwood. Yeah. A few months ago, we're saying Sam Greenwood, that'd be a great buy for $1.5 million when he was flying.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Now people have changed their mind, and
he hasn't shown an awful lot in the last six, eight games.
No, he has faded out, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, and we spoke about it last week about if Leeds go up, he gets away, he drives, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So then suddenly he's on more. It's I think in the end he prices himself out of the market.
Just a comment coming in on social media, fellas. It's going back to the Tonali situation. Ian, who I know is from Darlington, said, I almost lost my house due to gambling back in the day. You know, I was spending 300 quid a day on slot machines. You know, it can be madness. Yeah. So it just brings into focus how much of a habit it can be and probably how tough it is to face it.
I think that's right, Dave. I think, you know, obviously we haven't experienced that, thankfully, because I think it's another thing what Mer said when I've listened to him speak about it and I've seen some of the programmes he does, and it's one of those addictions that you can't really, it doesn't affect you health-wise, does it? It might, mentally health-wise it could, don't get us wrong, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but you know, whereas alcohol or drugs, you can see a difference in people, how they look and you know, etc. Sometimes with this, it can be something that you can keep away from people for a long period of time if you've got this gambling addiction, and it must be horrendous, some of the stories I've heard about it. I've got no doubt young Tonali doesn't want to be, you know, continually having all these bets on different sports or what have you, but this obviously addiction's got him strong, so I think probably for the rest of his life, rest of his career, he's going to have strong people around him, i.e. agencies, management team. They're going to have to protect him, you know, and try and make sure his football can overcome all this, you know. We hope he does, because he's obviously a very talented footballer.
Well, the worst thing for him, Clarky, will be to be in Newcastle, finish training, go home, and that's it then, isn't it? You know,
absolutely.
Let your mind run away with you. And I don't know if he's got his family over here or not, or whether, do you know what I mean?
I think he's got his partner here, Higgy. I'm not sure if he's got any children, but he came over with his partner initially, so I'm assuming she's still here, you know. But like you said, it's still there, isn't it? He's still a young lad. He's still got lots of time on his hands after he's finished training. And he's doing the hardest thing ever, because we know it's bad enough when you've got a long-term injury and you're seeing your teammates going out and training and playing. I mean, there's nothing more soul-destroying than that. So if you're doing that, but training with the players, but you cannot go out and play on a Saturday, but you're as fit as them, it must be even worse. So,
but
really tough, really tough period for him, you know, really tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think there comes a time when you say, right, he's done his penance, if you like, and, you know, let's get him back involved. He'll obviously need help, because how many of these players that you've played with, you were talking of Keith Gillespie, I know Keith really well, Paul Mason, all these people who've had issues with gambling, it doesn't go away. It's with you.
No, it doesn't.
Forever, and you've still have the urge.
Yeah.
You know, you still always have the urge.
Of course it does, mate.
And so you need something to fill that void, or you need, like you say, Clark, you need strong people around you to make sure that you don't fall down that same path again. And it's tough.
You know, there might have to be like drastic actions, right, where his agent says, you know, to Newcastle United, maybe he has to pay his salary through to a bank where his agent's got control, and he gives Tenali a budget or whatever, or he has to go to him and tell him what the money's for. But
I'll
then obviously,
I do that.
I think we'd all do that. But then what you've got then is, though, because I've seen it myself, I've heard the stories. You've got this online gambling services, these companies, where you can just set up an account like that within seconds.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard stories of lads who, probably on minimum wage or not even on that, probably on benefits, but they can set up an account where they can spend hundreds of pounds online. The actual money's not getting handed over, and then come the end of the month, they've got this online banking X amount of pounds, but which they haven't got, they've never had. Do you know what I mean?
Well, if you speak to Mace, that's the worst thing for him. He said the worst thing for me was I could pick a phone up to 5, 6, 7 bookies, put bets on,
put a bet in,
not take the cash or anything. He said the best thing that ever happened was I got banned from them all. He said I couldn't open any accounts anywhere. He said, and by the way, he still bets. He physically, or tries not to, but physically for him, he had to then take the money into the bookies, and that became a bit of an issue for him and an effort. And he didn't want people to see him in there. Do you know what I mean? It was all
that. It's the embarrassment as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
all
because
that type
obviously
of stuff.
Everyone knew him and knew his problems, and they'd be thinking to themselves, "Well, why is he in a book?" He said, "That was for him. That was the best thing that ever happened. He got banned from all these online bookies and telephone bookies. It was the best thing that happened to him, and it was a massive help to him."
I've got to ask the question though, fellas. For every Sandro Tonali or Paul Merson, how many lads are in the game that obviously haven't revealed they've got a gambling problem? There must be many.
Yeah.
Oh, there'll be hundreds, mate. Yeah.
Well, you only see the ones who lose everything. So there'll be people who've lost fortunes, but not quite everything, and you won't know. I mean, if you look through your career, I can think of a load of players who I knew were gambling, not necessarily on the football, but certainly the horses and dogs and things like that, snooker and different things. That'd be frightening to think.
Okay. It is the Three Legends across the North East on the Red, the Cat and the Two, and you can be part of it. You can get your messages through on Facebook Live, or you can WhatsApp the studio or give us a call, 033 0043 2002. We'll be hearing from Ian Murder very shortly, who follows 7 o'clock with Black, White, Red all over. The lads are just going to recharge their water glasses, and we'll be right back.
Clark, legend. Williams, legend. Hignett, legend. It's the Three Legends. WhatsApp us, call or send a voice message. We don't bite. 033 00 43 2002.
Right across the northeast, by the fans, for the fans, the tune, the red and the cat.
Ipswich are still top. They're still leading in the second half now, 1-0 at Blackburn Rovers. That puts them top of the table, but Leeds still to play. That's the latest. But, you know, games tomorrow, Premier League tomorrow.
Yeah. What do you think?
Massive game, Higgy. Two huge games coming up, actually, both home. West Ham, early kick-off tomorrow morning. And then Everton on Tuesday at home as well. West Ham are the team that we're looking to hunt down. So an absolute, proverbial six-pointer, really. And I think I think you kind of underestimate West Ham. You know, I don't know what you lads think. I think this stuff with a lot of West Ham fans not being happy with what David Moyes has done there is a little bit crazy, isn't it? Is it just me?
No, it's me. I can't believe it either.
I mean, he's brought them a first trophy in years. This is the third year on the bounce where they've qualified for a quarter final of a European tournament. And you know, he's got them in the top eight of the Premier League again. So I think you know, we're 4 points behind them going into the game tomorrow. So I think
you've got a game in hand, have you, Clark?
Yes, we have, mate. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I'm not too sure who that game is against, mine, but definitely. I mean, if they want to beat us, that'll take them 7 points ahead of us.
But if you look where they are in the table, how are they going to go any higher? Do you know what I mean? If you're moaning about what the job David Moyes has done, how are West Ham going to go any higher? Because
exactly.
Above them, you've got United, Spurs. All right, Villa have had a brilliant season. City, Liverpool, Arsenal. The only one below them, you would think, you know, Newcastle and Chelsea have obviously got the finances, and you would think they'd get stronger. But West Ham, for me, I know Man United have had a bit of an iffy season, but they can't possibly, but they haven't got the finances that United have got. But they can't go any higher, can they? Even if they spend millions more, how much higher
exactly
can they go?
It's being realistic, isn't it? I mean, Moyes probably a victim of his own success, isn't he? Mm. You know, he's won that trophy. He's got them in, as we said, three quarter finals in European competition on the bounce. Probably the first time they've ever done that in their history, to be honest. I wouldn't know, but I wouldn't have thought that many teams of West Ham's history have done that. And then, as I said, if they want to win tomorrow against us, you know, that puts them right in the driving seat. That's why it's important. I think we can take 3 points tomorrow. Take 6 points, actually, from the next two home games, Everton at home as well on Tuesday, which would put us right back in the mix for getting the... into Europe, you know, which I think, all things considered, if we can get a European position this season, would be a tremendous season for us. We've unfortunately had the curse of the injury again. Lewis Miley come back from England under 20 duty, where he played alongside Bobby. They had a double header in Poland on the Friday, then Czech Republic on the Tuesday. But he didn't make the game on the Tuesday because he's done his back, and apparently he's out for a minimum of 4 weeks, potentially six. So he's going to be a big miss, especially as we ain't got a lot of central midfield players to call upon. I think Harvey Barnes and Kieran Trippier, by what Eddie said today, have outside chances of being available tomorrow. So that's a little bit of a boost. But we are short of natural central midfield players going into the game, especially the way Eddie likes to play the 4-3-3 system, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. On the other side of it, guys, we've obviously, don't know if you've got the chance to see the England games, the internationals. I don't usually watch the friendlies, I've got to admit, but because they were against two top nations in Brazil and Belgium, I took a real interest in them, and I thought one of the real plus points of the defeat against Brazil was the performance of Anthony Gordon. I thought he'd done well. He staked his claim for a potential role in the Euro squad. What do you think?
I think it's going to be tough no matter how well he played. That's what I think. Right. I think that Southgate's got his people who I think he's going to take. I don't think, you know, as much as you could argue that he does deserve a spot, and I think he does probably with what he's done this season, and if you're getting players on form, he would be right up there, wouldn't he? But I do think Gareth will go with what he knows, especially in those positions.
I think on the back of this season, he definitely deserves it. Mm. Definitely without a shadow of a doubt. But like you said, I think he's going to go with the tried and tested, isn't he? You know,
I tell you, mate, what might happen, guys. I don't know if you've noticed this. At the minute, they're only allowed to take 23 to the Euros.
Yeah.
But I think there's a meeting coming up next week where a lot of the coaches are asking, this isn't possible. We need 26 in the squad.
Yeah.
So if that was to happen, I think that could give Gordon a chance of getting in.
That's a good chance.
You know,
chance.
The other thing I was thinking of, because obviously there's been an injury now to Johnston, hasn't there? Sam Johnston's injured, isn't he? The third goalie. I'm thinking, yeah. Would you risk it and go with two goalies? You know what I mean?
It'd be a massive call.
But it'd give you a little bit of wiggle room, wouldn't it, on an outfield player somewhere?
Yeah.
How many times do you see a third keeper playing?
Could there be a rule that says you've got to have three keepers?
Well, there might be, mightn't there? But why do you have to?
If they're going to increase it.
Why do you have to? You might have an outfield player who's absolutely unbelievable in goal.
In goal, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I was thinking about it the other night. You know, how would I get around the fact that I'd wanted to take a player? This might be a way around it.
You're turning into Sam Allardyce, aren't you?
You'd have to take another one who wasn't in your squad.
Yeah.
You know, for training purposes and stuff like that.
Mm.
And maybe two.
Aye.
But you could still do it. You could name two keepers in your squad and take three with you, or four, and they're just part of your training setup.
Typical Scouser, always trying to bend the rules.
That's not bending the rules.
Being smart.
Take one of them as a media man, and just say, media man's in goal.
Yeah, you get the gloves on.
Hold on, Dave, just my last little point.
Yeah, sure.
Castle. Obviously, when you get these international breaks, you get the players going away and they speak to the national media, the medias of the countries that they're playing in, etc., playing for. And then this is when you start getting some stories coming back about players wanting to stay, wanting to go, speculation about them. And obviously two of our players there's been a lot of speculation over the international break has been Bruno Guimaraes, obviously, and Alexander Isak's done an article to say that, because he's been linked with Arsenal, hasn't he, that he's on one of Arsenal's hit lists for them signing a striker in the summer. And he said that obviously Arsenal are a big club in the Premier League, one where you'd get an opportunity to win trophies now, you know. I think he understands that Newcastle have got the potential in the future, but it's the here and now. So when two of your top players like that are talking, because Bruno obviously being linked again, Manchester City, Liverpool, to say that if they can sell him for 100 million plus, they can reinvest that money back into the squad. We've touched on this before, but so when two of your top players are starting to get linked, that's when it becomes a little bit of a worry sometimes, you know, especially for the Newcastle fans. It just seems to be a weird situation for us at the minute, because we're the wealthiest club in the world. We've got owners who want to spend the money, but we can't.
Yeah.
And we could be potentially losing our best players because we need to reinvest in the squad, isn't it?
That's why it's really important, isn't it, Clarkie, to get something in the bank, a trophy in the bank, so that you can say, well, we've done this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They haven't.
Exactly, so we can attract them and keep our best players there, and then attract good players to come along. Totally agree with you, Paul. But it is a little bit worrying.
A quick chat with Ian Murta, who joins the lads, black, white, red all over, is on after seven. Evening, Ian.
Hello, good evening, gents. How is everyone?
All good, thank you. You sound like
all good, mate.
You're top of the world.
I'm in my new study.
He's had the carpet taken up.
Are you still recovering, Ian? Are you still recovering, Ian, after the op?
I'm off the crutches now, Clarky. I'm ready to play.
Brilliant.
No, it's going okay, actually. I can't drive yet, but I'm doing my... And I've got to be careful with sitting in seats that are too low down, so I can't do the match tomorrow. I'm going to go to Middlesbrough's match on Monday against Sheffield Wednesday, and so I'm absolutely delighted that they're
going. Why, Dave? Why are you going?
He doesn't want too much excitement. He doesn't want to be jumping up and down.
Why? Oh, right, I get it now. Sorry, mate.
Ian, haven't they given you an extra cushion to help with the seating?
I was relying on you for that.
Well, do you know what? When I come out after mine, they give me an extra cushion so I could put it on all the seats I was sitting on.
Do you know what?
Well, that's because you're
small.
Tiny Higgy.
Hey, do you know what else they gave me? They gave me like an extended seat for the toilet. You know, so you could lift the toilet seat up a little bit higher as well.
I think I'll go before I arrive.
I was private though, Ian, so...
do you want to know who's on my show tonight or not?
Yeah, go on.
Come on, mate. Come on.
Well, listen, my first guest. Now, as we speak, he'll probably be at the airport in South Wales, coming back from Sunderland's victorious win at Cardiff. And no, it's not my daughter or any of the players. It's actually Ian Horrocks, the photographer, the club photographer.
Ah, now, yes, I know Ian from Newcastle.
Yeah, that's right. He'll have taken your picture numerous times, Clark. And I think he's the longest serving snapper in the Northeast at the minute covering football. I interviewed him yesterday, so it's more about his job than about the prospects of the teams. But I learned more in 25 minutes talking to him about the life of a football photographer than I've learned in 30 odd years of the job, you know. So hopefully it will be as enlightening to our listeners. And the second guest is, I guess you can call her the First Lady of Northeast Football. No, I'm not talking about Amanda Staveley, especially after the month she's had. I'm talking about Louise Taylor, who's a good journalist.
She's a good journalist.
Nice girl. So yeah. I'm looking forward to speaking to her at 7:30 as well.
Cracking. Ian Murta, brilliant. Black, white, red all over on After the Legends. So literally in 6 minutes' time.
Look forward to it, Dave.
Take care, lads.
Take care, pal.
Take care, Ian.
Cheers, mate. Cheers. Take care.
So you got 6 minutes, fellas. What are you going to fill that
lads,
with?
Hey, because you two are buzzing. What's going to be happening Monday when you come back onto planet Earth again? Daz, are you come back down from the clouds yet or not?
Not yet, mate. I'm still up there. No, mate. Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting, you know, to see how the bounce from game to game. Obviously, you know, the last two games, you know, like we look at QPR today, you know, they've nicked another win, haven't they, today? So, you know, that, you know, we were on about this the other week. Obviously, Sunderland only getting a point against them, but, you know, we were fortunate enough at the end of the game, obviously, not to concede. So, for me, I think it's, you know, you're looking into it, you know, it's Blackburn, you know, and I think it'll be one that the boys are more than capable of winning, but, you know, it'll not be an easy game at the end of it, so.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, Daz, looking at the table, Blackburn are in free fall, aren't they? I can't believe where they are.
They are in free fall, mate. Yeah, they are in free fall, mate. But, you know, it's those teams, mate, that kind of, sometimes you scupper your done, and obviously, you lose your winning momentum against teams like that who are scrapping away, mate. So, hopefully for me, you know, we've turned the corner now and we're going to finish strongly in the season. And, you know, hopefully I'll be on cloud 10, 11, 12, 13 by the end of it.
Hey, listen, it would be nice to finish the season strongly, Daz. It would just give everyone a lift.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully they make this decision on the head coach, what they're going to do. You know, hopefully, like we said, listen, we're not pretending we're experts, but I think everyone who's seen Sunderland this season of the same thought process. They have some terrific young players, but they need to need to change. They need to tweak that philosophy a little bit. Not maybe change it. Of course, you still keep going for top young players, but you need to get some experience in there as well.
And it's interesting you're saying that, Clarke, because Dak came off the bench today. And took the field, which obviously the rumours were that he was never going to play again for the club. So whether they're starting to tweak that and they're changing their minds, I'm not saying that, you know, that's the whole answer, because obviously you need more than one player in there. But obviously we've got Roberts back on the bench today as well. So he's kind of coming back from injury. So, you know, things are starting to look up a little bit.
But that's going to influence the next manager as well, Daz, isn't it? If he's coming into the club knowing that he can now recruit a bit more experience. That's gonna certainly have an effect on who comes to the club and who wants the job, isn't it?
And I just get the feeling that they have, you know, they are tweaking it and they are going to change it. But like you say, you know, we need the next guy in place so he can start working his magic now.
Well, I think they'll win. I do. I think they'll get a win on Monday. Make it back to back wins.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 again.
2-1. 2-1 Sunderland.
2-1.
I've gone 2-0. I've gone 2-0.
Right,
I think Sunderland win, lads, but I'm actually got, as we're talking in the background, yeah, I've got the Blackburn Ipswich game on, and to be fair to Blackburn, they've done well. They've had two very tight goals disallowed for offside, but they're playing quite well, actually. The Ipswich scored early, so I don't think it's going to be an easy game for Sunderland, but I think the confidence they've got from the two clean sheets, I think they're going to kick on again, and 1-0 Sunderland.
Right. And then we've got Burramundi, Chef Wed. In good form, Burra, when you look at it, aren't you? You know, so they've had a decent point away at Southampton. Tails should be up. Hopefully no one else gets injured and they can field a similar sort of team. Latty Lath again. Another hat-trick for him. take his gold tally. Take his gold tally to massive
cloud 22.
Massive per game.
I'm Dave. Yeah. Hold on, Iggy. Dave, what you putting in his tea in the studio there?
He hasn't even offered me one, man. I put it in myself. So I'm going to go 3, obviously, but I can't keep a clean sheet, can you? 3-1, I'm going.
Ooh, with that run of
goals. A lot of goals.
Yeah, okay.
I've gone 3-0, Iggy.
Clean sheet and 3?
I've gone 3-0, mate.
What, Chef Wed?
Yeah, I've gone 3-0. No. I'm not that drunk yet, Dave. Oh,
I love how we put in there yet.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go 2-1 to the Borough.
So we've got two wins to the Borough.
Yeah.
So
Newcastle next.
And then we've obviously got the Newcastle doubleheader. I'm gonna be really tight game tomorrow, but we'll nick it 1-0, and then I think we'll have far too much for Everton. Jordan Pickford will have his usual collapse when he comes back to St. James's. and we'll win 3-0.
I'm going 2-0 win against West Ham and 3-1 win against Everton.
Ooh, back-to-backs. Ooh.
Love it, lads.
Yeah, me mates will kill me.
I've gone 2-1 against West Ham and Newcastle, and I've gone 2-0 Everton. Sorry, Newcastle against Everton. So
I was going to say it, Daz.
Full house?
Yeah, there's 9 points.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
What can go wrong?
Nothing could go wrong.
Exactly, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
When we all agree on it. Every time we all agree, nothing goes wrong.
lads, just a word of warning. Take it easy with Easter eggs on Sunday.
Looks like I've already eaten mine. Oh. Yeah, look at me. Yeah. Fellas, have a great Easter. Fantastic, and we'll catch you next week.
Yeah, brilliant. All the best, lads. Take care, on the weekend.
All the best, lads.
Cheers, lads. Bye. Cheers, guys. The Reds, the two.